My name is Lawrence Allen.
I'm Ronald Shaw.
I'm Rahul Vora.
And this is Bad Time Radio.
Hey, it's Lawrence and the gang. Welcome to another episode of Bad Time Radio. Full house. This time we got Rahul, Ronald, and Lawrence. And we're talking this time about another episode of Dark Fantasy, The Sea Phantom, which I picked totally at random because Ronald messaged me yesterday and he's like, hey, are we recording or what? And I'm like, okay. And then just grabbed this one at random off of vague memory that I thought it was funny when I listened to it before, but I didn't remember anything about it. And I'm almost positive I got it confused with The Thing from the Sea, which is another Dark Fantasy episode and might be better. So anyways, with that out of the way, would you like to, let's go around and would you recommend this episode? I'll start. No, I wouldn't. There's very little meat on this bones. It's not particularly scary. There's one kind of funny bit, but it's not very good. If you were for some reason, like, I want the basis for a short story, this could be a good inciting incident for a kind of bog standard horror story, but on its own, it's basically nothing. Raul, what do you think?
I have your exact opinion. No, I don't recommend it unless you're like trapped on a desert island and this is like washed up some tape.
What
you got, you know?
I like the idea that they're somewhere off the coast of Polynesia or whatever. Someone's just throwing old time recorded full time radio into the ocean,
packing it into a bottle and sending it out there. That's the only time you listen to this.
You imagine that there's literally anything you wouldn't listen to in that scenario.
What if it was a fair point. What if it was a recording of your own conception, like your parents really getting down to it?
How would I know though?
Because they identify themselves for the camera before they do it.
Huh.
Wait. So there's a video now.
Audio, whatever.
No, Lawrence, the fact that your mind goes there tells me something. I don't know what it is, but it tells me something.
That I am simultaneously fascinated and horrified by the prospect of my parents fucking.
I guess that's it, yeah.
Yeah. Ronald, what do you think?
Similar opinion. It's definitely not like the worst story or anything. It's just, there's not much to say here. It's 25 minutes long. It could have been about 5 minutes. And yeah, I mean, just other stories have done it better.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go ahead and roll for the summary. Raul, I'm going to give you 1, 2. I'll be 3, 4. And Ronald,
sit out this one because, I don't know. I'm having trouble remembering some of the things that happened in it because it was just nothing.
Oh, okay.
The sea phantom got to him, or whatever the guy's name was.
Gosh.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
Do it.
So you get 3, 1 through 3. I get 4 through 6. It's a 3. Oh, shit. We got us a Rahul summary.
Oh, perfect.
Okay.
A rare beast.
We'll help you out.
A rare and incompetent piece.
Yeah. You know, your memory of it might be more entertaining than the actual story. So.
Okay.
We'll know what the...
I didn't take any notes this time, so...
We'll know that Raul is improvising when the skeleton stops giving directions and starts lifting for about 10 minutes.
And it's like, why? You're a skeleton. And you'd be like, for my bone health. And I'll be like, yeah, that checks out. I mean,
yeah, man. You gotta up that bone density, baby.
All right, so this bad boy opens where when an old sea dog walks into the scene, he's like, knock knock or something, and he opens a door and he's like, oi, what you doing in here? Or something like that. Just like a skeleton.
Raul, I just want to say, you're doing great. No notes.
This is like, okay. He's like, no, it's even stupider than that. Okay, he walks in. He's like trying to talk to the captain, El Capitan. He opens the captain's door and he's like, oh, that's weird. It's normally locked. I wonder why he tried, you know? But anyway, he opens the door and he's like, oh, there's someone over there. Like, writing on this slate. And keep in mind, this is set in the 40s?
It came out in the 40s, so, and it doesn't talk about it being set in a different time. Plus, the boat has an engine room, so pretty modern.
He's writing on a slate, though, which is whatever. Writing on a slate with a piece of chalk, and he's like, "Who are you?" or something, and he never responds. And then he like looks him up and down. And he's like, "Oh my god, he's a skeleton!" And he runs away.
It takes him far longer than I feel it should.
I don't know what happened that took him so long to realize.
I kind of assumed that his back was to him or something at first.
So he's wearing clothes, I guess? He must.
Yeah, I think he's wearing clothes.
He comments on his clothes later.
I don't think he's like just a bare skeleton sitting there. I think he's like in his clothes from when he was alive.
So you're saying this story doesn't feature any hot skeleton action and skeleton fetishists might look elsewhere?
Well, because it'll
yeah, I mean that's later.
Yeah.
But he specifically comments on the face and hands, which are like the uncovered parts of somebody who's wearing a jacket. So.
That's a good point. Ronald's sharp. Yeah, so he runs away and he's like looking for the captain wherever, and he's like, the captain's out hanging out with like some other dude, and he's like, "I'm an old sea dog, and you won't believe what I done seen." And they're like, "You've been drinking, Isaac." And he's like, "No, I haven't. Let's go check it out.
I've written down an amazing line that they deliver at this point, which is, "Whoever heard of a skeleton on a ship?" And refuting him. So apparently, that implies to me at least that this is a world where there are skeletons that walk around all the time, but they don't go on boats.
Well, I mean, how would he get there? They can't swim.
Yeah, I mean,
think about it.
Also, although, a skeleton is only like 12 to 15 pounds, isn't that right? Like a human skeleton. So it might float.
Yeah.
It might.
Oh.
Also, you know, I'm going to point
part
out
of your body.
Yeah,
I'm going to point out another way that this dude is wrong.
But the marrow would have rotted away, Ronald.
I would just fill with water.
Fine. I want the skeleton to float.
Freeze your bones, sink, dude.
Yeah, I'm almost positive they do.
Well, I want to point something else out, though, why this guy is an idiot. So I'm going to blow you guys' mind. Every single human being has a skeleton in them. So if there is a person on a boat, there is a skeleton on a boat. And in fact, I would argue that one of the main reasons people even have boats is to transport people, and therefore skeletons, across the ocean. So this guy is a dumbass.
What
good an point.
Idiot. My God, how do you become captain, or whoever said that? Who
Not by knowing a lot about skeletons, that's Jesus. For sure.
This is just sad. You know, the standards they had back then for who could or couldn't be captain are clearly just lax.
Yeah, nowadays, if you go in and you're taking the exam to become a captain, the first question, and in fact the only question is, do people have skeletons inside them?
Some more than others.
Yeah.
Unless you happen to be the bone collector, or
yeah, or the boneless man, who is a horror character I might have just invented.
Are you sure that's not a porn star?
No, that would be the boneful man, Robert.
Oh, okay, yeah, I always get him confused. Boneless, boneful. Yeah. So, Captain, his friend. Is that his friend? Who is that guy? I don't remember.
He's the guy who hired him to like go on this stupid treasure hunt.
Yeah. So there's like one guy. There's one guy who hired the ship, and then the captain, and they're both kind of like co-leaders, I guess. Well, the captain kind of phases out after.
He's like, I don't want to make decisions. So they all three go over to his quarters, and they have this big long conversation before they do that. They're like, I don't know. They just talk about stuff and whether or not it's crazy to have a skeleton.
There's a part. Yeah. So they like are telling him like, wow, you're insane. I can't believe you thought that there was a skeleton in here. The door was locked and there's nobody in here. But there is some writing on this slate that's from 200 years ago. So maybe you have some merit to your story, but it probably wasn't a skeleton.
They're like, and then, ghost, I'll accept. Skeleton, no fucking way.
That's insane, bro. And then the one guy says, the guy who chartered the ship, says something like, I believe him. I think that there was a skeleton. You know as well as I do, there have been stranger things out in the ocean, which implies he's seen something weirder than a skeleton writing a note in the middle of his cabin on a chalkboard. But I really wish they'd done
something with that. They didn't do anything with that. They're just like, you know as well as I, strange things happen on the ocean.
I guess he was talking about the ghost ship that he talks about later.
But he also says he doesn't believe in ghosts. Like, he's
clearly
like, I don't
believe in ghost ships.
Yeah, it's very strange because he says, I don't believe in ghosts, but I kind of believe this guy. But later on, he's going to jump to ghost ship way faster than someone who doesn't believe in ghosts should.
Yeah, I don't really understand his motivations here.
Oh, anyways, so the thing he wrote, the skeleton wrote on the slate, was the boat you're looking for isn't at these coordinates. It's at these coordinates. It gives them in precise longitude and latitude. They're looking for like a 300-year-old Spanish galleon, so I was kind of wondering if longitude and latitude are that old, but I guess I don't know. But it gives them the exact coordinates, and then they argue for a bit and decide that they're going to go to them. But I have actually written down a joke related to this event. Are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
So this is a real instance of GPS, global positioning skeleton.
So wow. Technically, he just gives him a heading. He doesn't give him a latitude.
No, he gives it. He gives them exact longitude and latitude.
Degrees, yeah.
I thought that meant like a heading from. Yeah, he was like, I guess now I don't know.
No, he gave him longitude and latitude positions, which I think are like an actual point on the map.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, well, shows what I know. Yeah,
yeah, and
so,
it's also kind of funny because it's like, because they're like, wait, nobody even knew about what we were coming out to look for. And it's like, well, how did the skeleton figure it out? You know, are we to think that the skeleton is also omniscient?
Spooky.
Skeleton god.
How did the skeleton know? Yeah, that's a good point. But the skeleton clearly defies the laws of physics. I mean,
well, and the skeleton, I guess, can just travel wherever he wants because he's no. I mean,
yeah,
nowhere close
on,
to the
right?
ship right now.
Well, once you don't have a skin, the skin is the thing that's sort of holding you back and restricting you, so you become immune to all kinds of laws of reality and physics.
That makes sense.
That's sweet. I wish I was a skeleton.
That's why if you ever flay someone, they start floating.
Makes sense.
Try it at home, kids. Go flay your parents. See what happens.
I don't think kids these days would know what flay meant, honestly.
Kids these like, days need to watch that? Dagon more.
They'd probably be like, hey, Bobby Flay?
K-Flay?
Yeah, that noted person all the kids love, Bobby Flay.
Look, kids these days love the Food Network, Lawrence. I can't stop it. You can't stop it.
They're always talking about the Barefoot Contessa, the Food Network personalities that I don't know.
Who the hell the Barefoot Contessa? Is that from the Food Network? Or
I don't,
that sounds like a Renaissance painting.
Nah, it's some lady where she's like married to a highfalutin Washington diplomat and she's got a cooking show and she goes by the name the Barefoot Contessa, even though
serious?
I don't think she's actually a count or married to a count, which is bullshit in my mind.
Barefoot Contessa. Holy crap. Lawrence wasn't lying. It's a cooking
show. Why would I have lied about that? It's so petty and boring.
Yeah, that'd be a pretty
exactly.
lame thing to lie about.
Oh man, some of these look good. A beef Borgwig non? Borgwig
I think it's
non?
A sign of how boring this episode is that we would literally rather Google Food Network personalities we haven't heard of than discuss it.
I mean, we've already got through like half the episode and there's not that much left.
Bro, this is actually amazing. Have you heard of this? It's tomato soup with grilled cheese croutons.
Wow.
I mean, that does sound pretty good.
That sounds incredibly original.
I don't know why you're not impressed by this, because I think it's amazing.
What do you think the skeleton would make of these?
Oh, that's a good question.
Now, it's complicated, because we find out he's a man of class and distinction, so he might enjoy the finer things in life. But on the other hand, he has no tongue or taste buds, and is also a ghost.
Or stomach.
He does have teeth, though.
But he can touch chalk.
Yeah. And presumably eat it as well. If he
You're probably eat chalk, yeah.
I mean, he could chew it up. I guess it kind of comes down to what your definition of eating is. If it's just, it sort of passes through your teeth and then falls out the bottom where the bottom of your jaw used to be, but isn't because you're a skeleton.
Yep, that's my definition.
Somehow his skeleton hasn't rotted away, so he must be getting new carbon.
Are you proposing calcium. That he's essentially going around and Frankensteining himself new bones out of fish that he catches at the bottom of the sea?
He must.
Yeah, I wasn't proposing that, but now the image is in my head. So possibly.
Pretty weird,
he absorbs,
huh?
Absorbs, like, from the things he touches, right? Like the chalk. Maybe that was him eating, actually. You know, there's, like, probably calcium in chalk, I assume.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it's white, bones are white. Presumably they're made of the same thing.
That's solid logic, honestly. You think you could use a bone like chalk? Like just rub it up against, like, maybe he didn't even have chalk. Maybe he was just using his finger.
Oh, dude, I'll bet he was. They should have been like, wait, I don't even have chalk.
That would have been the element of the story.
That's, for some reason, that's the climactic twist of, wait, I don't have a slate. Why would I? It's the 1940s. We have pens and paper.
Yeah, I don't know why he had a slate, man. Like, what is that for?
I assume it's for when he all of the sailors gather around their captain and he gives them their letters. You know, how to read and stuff.
Yeah.
Or they go like... over their daily football plays. Like, all right, we're going to really form up an I formation.
And we're going to stop doing that because we're sailors, and I don't know why we keep doing football plays. Anyways, what happens next?
Where are they? Okay, so they're all in that room. They're like, this writing's from 200 years ago. Look at these loopy loopies and this dated.
So he looks at it and he's like, oh, who wrote this? Does it look like your handwriting? And he says, like, oh no, it's not my handwriting or anyone else's on the ship, because it's the style and look of a handwriting of 200 years ago. And it's like, what are you, a freaking calligrapher? You know the exact the exact style and look.
Well,
of...
in captain school you do have to take calligraphy.
Yeah, that's true. You have to like be able to date writing just by looking at it.
The two things you gotta know to be a captain. One, do people have skeletons? And two, you have to date and be able to identify and date any piece of writing you are shown.
For this exact scenario.
From Babylonian cuneiform all the way up to languages that might exist in the future.
Yeah. And what I love about this part is that, like, he's like, oh yeah, there's no skeleton, you idiot. God, you're so stupid. And then he's like, look, there's writing on the slate. He's like, huh, weird. It's the writing of somebody from 200 years ago. But that guy is really stupid for thinking that there was a skeleton here.
Also, like, the guy noted that the skeleton was wearing very old clothing. So it really seems like they should be connecting more dots than they are.
Yeah, and he doesn't seem to think it's a prank or anything. He just... I don't know what he thinks.
Well, one of them wonders, he's like, well, we haven't told anyone, so maybe, or he's like, maybe someone snuck on to like sabotage us or like lead us off course, right?
Yeah, that is like a small idea that they have. And then they're like, no, nobody even knows that we're doing this.
We don't even know that we're doing it. So how could anyone know?
Right. Yeah, exactly. No one else on the ship even knows. And like, we barely talked about it. So
who are you?
Yeah. It honestly kind of feels that way for a minute, because the way that they're talking, like they barely know anything about what they're doing.
Yeah, they're talking like each one thinks the other one has amnesia and they're trying to fill in the gaps.
When it's really just the listener who has amnesia.
The reason they're on this trip is that the financier found like an old journal or something that indicated that some Spanish galleon had been sunk in a certain place, like loaded down with gold. So they're going to go get that fucking gold.
And he says, I thought we could make a profit of $1 million, which I thought was kind of funny because that's probably inflated to a massive amount. But
let's find out.
Today, chartering a ship and like, on the chance that you might find a shipwreck full of gold that only amounts to $1 million, probably wouldn't even be profitable.
Let's see. 1 million. One. One. One, two, three, four, five, six. It will be profitable in 20 years when fiat currency stops being a thing and suddenly the only thing that matters is gold for some reason, even though it has basically no practical use whatsoever.
What are you talking about? You could eat it.
$1 million then would be $17 million today.
All right, that's a good amount.
Not bad.
I think you'd get more for that amount of gold from a Spanish gold ship.
You're selling it to gold, like, weird Spanish, like, enthusiasts, essentially?
No, just the raw gold. I mean, they carried so much of this stuff, and gold is so expensive.
Well, gold wasn't made as expensive back in the 40s.
Yeah, that's true. All right, Lawrence, run us the numbers on 3 tons of gold at 19...
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to do that.
$1 million of gold in 1940...
Run the numbers on that, Lawrence.
Yeah.
Well, 3 tons of gold today is worth $154 million.
See, that's what I'm saying. You know, like, it's like a nonsensically huge amount of dollars. God, you could probably buy like an island.
This site I'm looking at also notes, however, the government printing more and more money due to the coronavirus and pension crises. Didn't bet you didn't know about that one. It seems likely the gold will continue to hold its value well. So they're like splitting the difference between being insane about it and not. Anyways, so what happens next, Rahul?
Wait, hold up. I'm seeing that in 1940, it was like $34 an ounce. Is that
In the 1940s, like for a long time, the like rate of the dollar, the price cost of a dollar was like fixed to the price of gold. So you actually like legally, I think, couldn't sell gold.
Oh, until
for more
Nixon.
Than that.
Until Nixon. Yeah. Which is crazy.
Anyways, Raul, come on. You can this, man. I have faith in you.
All right. So, let's see. I think, okay, so they're all asleep, and the dude who's the captain's friend, someone's banging on his door, and it's like, you know, like some, that same old dude who's like the grizzled old sea dog with a fucking parrot on his head or whatever. He's like, I done seen a ship on the thing, and they go out and check, and yeah, he's like, oi, that is a ghost ship, my goggle.
So, and, you know what's incredible to me about this is Rahul has attempted to do a voice for this guy like 5 times, and each time he picks a different accent, but then his accents appear to be wandering to other characters as well. So now the financier has the voice of that he used to have for the like sea dog character. It's incredible. It's like a round robin dog. Of accents.
I love that he's a sea dog. Like,
yeah, I don't think that was ever really conveyed in this really way. Actually, you know what? He does say blow me down several times.
He kept saying that. I was like, why are you saying that?
So you know what? He's a certified sea dog.
He's like, shiver me timbers.
Shiver me timbers.
He's constantly trying to make the skeleton walk the plank, you know? Standard sea dog behavior.
Standard sea dog stuff.
Where's my grog?
So they're like, oi, that is the ship. And the financier guy's like, come with me, we're going to...
No, it's even weirder than that, because the guy's like, the financier's like, oh, don't worry about that, it's just a ghost ship. And then they argue for like a minute or two about whether it's a ghost ship or not, but the guy, the sea dog, finally proves it isn't by throwing something across and it landing on it. It's like,
he's like, look, I've got a rock, I'm going to throw it at it. And the guy's like, it's just a ghost ship, it'll go right through. And it's like, so you believe in ghost ships, but not that, like, a ship could actually be there. Like, he believes in skeletons, but not ghosts. But he believes in ghost ships, but not, like, ancient ships that, you know, never sunk or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. But maybe ghost ships are, like, a thing around the time of this recording, you know? Like, maybe just, like, kept happening, and it was just, like, a reflection of the times, this story. And they're just like, hey, it's a cool reference. You know, like that movie, The Virus? It's like kind of like that.
What?
You know, like,
I don't, how is it like that in any way?
It's like, please. You know, it's like you're just floating out there, and it's like you come across this abandoned, like, oil tanker or something, and then you climb aboard, and it's like the ship starts killing you. It's like,
and it's also like a virus somehow?
Why was
how does
it?
The virus enter into this?
It was a computer virus.
Oh. Was it? Oh, I don't remember that.
What?
That was a sweet movie, though.
I'm so confused right now.
Wait, there's a movie you haven't seen that
a computer virus took over like all the machinery on this like on this ship, and so it was like haunted. They thought it was haunted, but really it turned out it was like some technological AI had taken over the entire.
And it was like slaughtering all the people and turning them into cyborgs. It's pretty sweet.
That does sound cool.
Yeah, no, and I didn't like it.
Yeah, I might check that out.
Not really at all related to this story, though.
Well,
ship.
Ship, all right?
That's yeah, there is a ship in both.
Okay, so they determined that...
Another baffling decision here is that they're like, hey, let's go over, let's get on this ship that's not a ghost ship, it's a real ship. But they don't, like, wake up anyone else or tell anyone where they're going.
Why would you not want backup? Have you not seen the
even
virus?
If you want to go alone, I feel like you should probably let the crew know.
Or the captain, for God's sake. It is the captain's goddamn ship. And besides, what's to say they won't just sail away?
Yeah, I know.
Or
nothing right? Maybe the like bridge or whatever connects it.
Or they're gonna suddenly they row over on a rowboat.
They row over.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Also, the other concern I would have before going on a ghost ship, aside from the ghost would kill me, which, you know, pretty high up there, is that also, what if it suddenly just disappears and I'm stranded out in the middle of the ocean?
Well, there's a rowboat nearby.
Still seems... I think you guys are right that waking everyone else up and being like, check out this ghost ship, I'm going to go scope that shit out, is the move.
I think the move would probably be like, let's get the hell out of here.
They should have just set it on fire and picked up the gold after.
Another thing I don't really understand is, like, if they thought that this ship had just sunk to the bottom of the ocean, how are they planning on retrieving anything?
Yeah, they do not mention any diving gear.
Well, and I don't think that was even really possible up until, like, more modern times.
I mean, they would have had, like, had, like, Navy frogmen and stuff for a while, although I don't know if they had, like, stuff you need for deep sea diving, which is a fairly specialized.
Maybe they would just, like lower a hook and pick it up.
And lower a hook and hope you get lucky. The sea's not that big.
It's basically like a giant anchor is like the fishing hook of the giant ships.
Darn.
Just drag it along the bottom for a little while. You'll pick up a ship or two.
Yeah, so they row over in an extremely questionable decision. And the dude's like to the old sea dog. Old peg leg sea dog. He's like, I used to stay here and I'll go up there and investigate. And if I'm not back in 30 minutes, come and get me. So he's like running around up there and he's like, this place looks totally abandoned. So weird for ghost ship, man.
Yeah, and so you think like this is going to be like an interesting part, like it's going to be scary. Or something.
I thought so, yeah.
There's going to be more to it. But then he just goes into a room and like has a discussion.
He's like for the captain's quarters, and then he finds him easily. And there's like a pile of bones in the corner. And he's, this part's so great. He's like looking around and he's like, hello, fellow! Or something like that.
he's like, who's there?
So
like, look at the corner.
Oh, you know, I just remember something crazy. So you know the sea dog, right? Yeah. His name's Isaac Newton for some reason.
Oh yeah, I remember that, and I was like, wait, is that the real Isaac Newton? Or
yes,
because I didn't know when it was set.
After he discovered gravity, he went off and became a swarthy sea dog.
Well, I mean, it's dark fantasy. They could have Isaac Newton on a boat for some reason, but obviously, it's not.
Yeah. Oh, and also, so a ghost shows up and starts recounting his story. This is a Spanish galleon, so of course the ghost is named, I think, like Jonathan Swift or something stupid like that. Not a Spanish name. And he speaks in a Tony Mid-Atlantic accent, not the, you know, Spanish accent one might expect from a Spanish ghost on a Spanish galleon.
Oh, his name is Jonathan Strange.
Great, whatever. Point is, that's not a Spanish name.
It should have been Jonathan Estraño.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought it was Swift.
I thought it was Strange.
It doesn't matter.
All right, let's listen to it again.
My point stands.
Yeah, so he's having this heart-to-heart with Mr. I'm going with Strange. He's like, okay.
Oh, you know what? I remember that it was, he is named Strange because I was going to make a joke. I have another note in my notes about, make sure to make a joke about how he's named Jonathan Strange because he got so much strange. Because people like it when I use weird euphemisms from the mid-2000s.
What the hell does that mean?
It means you get a lot, you have sex with a lot of women.
To get a lot of strange?
Yep.
Man.
Yeah, I don't know why you would call it strange.
Well, I think the idea is that you're having sex with women that aren't especially well known to you.
Right. It's like random.
Oh, like strangers. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Anyways, I think we've dissected my casual misogyny enough.
I don't think, well, whatever. Let's see. So they're like, he's Mr. Strange is like, yeah, you know, I'm really obsessed with this gold because it was like the king and queens or some stupid shit, and now I'm gonna guard it because I care, and the crew mutinied against me and something happened.
Yeah, this is the part that kind of like evaporated from my mind.
Yeah, I'll give it a try. So the story basically is that the gold is hidden in a trap door underneath the captain's cabin, which, I don't think that that's how the hold of ships normally work, but whatever. And the crew, led by someone with an egregiously Spanish name, like Señor Pequendro or something, I don't know. An extremely Spanish name, though, who the captain describes as a very evil man, decided to mutiny. So they locked the cab, or the captain saw that the ship was locked or lost, but went ahead and locked himself in his cabin. And the crew thought that he was going to just starve himself to death rather than the ship, because, like, the dishonor or whatever. But somehow he managed to burn all the lifeboats, so everyone got stuck on the ship. And then it's unclear on the timetable on this, but at some point the ship just burnt up. And he died on his, like, guarding his gold. But the gold's still there somehow. Question mark, even though the ship burnt up. And
the ship is still there.
Well, but then the ship caught fire.
Well, it does now, but
no, it's a ghost ship too. This is very ambiguous to me because he talks about like the ship burning, but then the ship's still there. And the script seems to be trying to make a distinction between this ship and the ghost ship or a ghost ship, but it also calls attention repeatedly to the fact that this ship could not actually be the original because it would have rotted. So
he also says when he got on board that the wood all looks dark, and the curtains were like looked like they had been like shriveled or like burned or something like that. He said like the corner, like the edges were frayed, or I can't remember exactly how he phrased it, but it sounded like maybe this had been a burned ship. I don't know. I could be misremembering that, but it was very confusing because, like Rahul said, it hadn't burned yet because it was still running, and then they do burn it. So was that representing what happened in the past, or did he just now burn it? Like, why did he call him there? I don't know.
Yeah, it seems like if his whole deal is that he doesn't want anyone to get this gold, a very effective strategy would be to not tell people where the gold is.
Yeah.
Maybe he was a lonely skeleton.
Well, and it didn't seem like the guy that came helped him in any way. He just told him the story and then was like, get off the ship.
Yeah, the ship catches fire as the guy's leaving. The skeleton hands, or the guy hands him a logbook. Oh, also, it's not the skeleton talking to him now. It's something that he can't see. And while the ship is burning, the guy's like, "Well, why don't you turn visible and I'll take you with me?" And it's like, "Well, I don't know anything about ghosts, but that cannot possibly be how it works."
I totally missed that, but that is hilarious. Yeah, so he gets back, he gets his logbook. Jonathan Strange is like, don't fuck with my gold, yo. Or I'll ice you. Or something to that effect.
Another strange accent. <towards Rahul. laughs>
He ends back up. Isaac comes and rescues him, right? He's like, oh, your ship's on fire. We gotta go, bro.
He's ambiguously stuck in the cabin, but he doesn't seem upset about it very much. I remember that the ghost, like, you gotta leave, the ship's burning, and then he pauses to say something pretentious and very, very slowly, like, maybe we'll meet again. It's like, but the ship's on fire, dude, don't stop, you gotta keep moving.
So they paddle back to
dies?
Maybe they'll meet in hell, maybe they're in hell. Maybe only one of them was in hell.
He'll meet again when he dies.
I don't know if that was actually the line, but it's something in that family.
Right. Yeah. It's like kind of a stinger where it's like, dude, shut up. It's not the time for that. Yeah.
The ship is burning, smoke inhalation. Every breath you inhale and exhale is like more like fucked your lungs get. You gotta fucking move. He's like, nah, I want to, do this. So what happens next, Raul?
Yeah, they paddle back to their ship. He's like talking to the captain again. The captain's like, I didn't even know anything happened. You didn't wake me up. And then he's like, hey, look at this logbook that was given to me. And the captain's like, by the skeleton? And he's like, I don't know, or something.
Who knows?
Yeah. And no one else on the ship saw the ghost ship or whatever the fuck it was, but they did see a bunch of burned debris in the water when they woke up the next day.
Yeah, it got all burned and scorched. And then they're reading the logbook, and this is so creepy and scary. Like, in the end of the logbook, like, it's present day stuff.
Is it?
I think you just added that, but that would have been cool.
It's like 10/21/2021, and it's like Lawrence is a big butthole. The end. And I'm like, what? That can't be the end, dude. And it's like,
it's not the end.
I think it literally ends with just they read the logbook and it says the thing the ghost said. And it's like, well, what was the point of that?
He's like, don't fuck. I don't get why he cared so much about gold that wasn't his. You know, like he cared about the king's gold. Like, why? Yeah.
Well, he's a skeleton of honor.
I guess, if you call that honor. Yeah.
He's a bootlicker.
Yes.
I mean, to Ronald's point, the most likely kings and queens the most likely kings and queens of Spain he would have been delivering gold to were all assholes who presided over one of the worst some of the worst abuses of, native peoples in the history of the world. So, I don't know. Christ. I guess more fully, would you recommend this? I'll go first again. We had some fun talking about this, I hope, but there's fucking nothing here. This should be the first 5 minutes of a story of them going and trying to get the gold after the ghost told them not to, and then horrible things happening. As it is, it's like a ghost is like, hey, here's my story. Don't do this thing. And then they're like, cool, and leave. And that's not a good story.
I mean, but why couldn't they just go for the gold now?
Because then the ghost would get mad.
But the ghost doesn't have a ship or anything. He just burnt it.
Well, he'll burn their ship next.
Well, he said something like, whoever takes the treasure will be cursed.
Oh,
I don't recommend taking that gold.
He's like,
so this is essentially the story. You know, have you seen the movie Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl?
Yeah.
It's that movie's story. But if no one ever took the gold, if they found out that there was a curse, they're like, all right, let's go. Back it up, boys.
I'm not going to fuck with this gold, man. Yeah.
Not worth it.
Rahul, what did you think?
I thought it was not worth listening to, but it was almost because it was too scary to listen to. So that's my only
terrifying
caution. That's my caution for the dear listener.
You can tell it was scary because there was a skeleton in it.
Yeah. Woo. Man.
That's as scary as it gets, honestly.
I had to turn my lights on because you said that.
Yeah.
You know, have you guys ever been scared by a skeleton in anything?
Yes. It'll be in my recommendations.
Okay, Raul.
Is this what I think it is?
Wait, is this that movie where, like, a skeleton comes out of what's-her-face? God damn it, she's got a talk show now. She was in Scream.
What?
I don't know. It's definitely not that, but that sounds interesting.
God damn it. What's that movie? Drew Barrymore. There's this movie where she's like a horror. One sec. All Drew Barrymore movies. There's literally this movie where she's like Andrew doppelganger. Like she, it's a, you think it's an evil twin movie, and then all of a sudden at the end, an evil skeleton like pops out of her and goes on a rampage.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Anyways,
except you kind of ruined the twist.
Whatever. Shit, I'm sorry, guys.
What's next? Me recommendation?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't recommend it. It was boring as hell. There really wasn't anything in there, as everyone else already said. And as you could tell by our summary of the episode being mostly digressions into the Food Network and other random topics. All right.
What am I looking at?
I've just pasted a picture of apparently the evil monster from Doppelganger, who does appear to be kind of an evil skeleton. Anyways.
That is terrifying.
Yeah. So we kind of knew. I kind of figured that this episode was going to not be that long. So we've also prepared a couple of other segments for you, our dear listener. So what do you guys want to do first? Would you rather or Secrets of the Mindset Masters?
I'll let Ron. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So would you rather, you know, this is just a question. Answer it any way you feel, you know, but take it. Well, I was going to say take it seriously, but Rahul can't take things seriously.
What? That is not true. How dare
I object.
Anyways, so what's the worst you've ever been physically hurt? Rahul, you go first.
Dude,
probably that time I beat your ass.
Dude, that one's
every single time we play Halo and Rahul dominates you.
Now, is that physical or emotional, though?
Take it anyway, please.
A little bit of calm, me.
There's this one time, this dude, like, he snuck into my apartment, and I'm pretty sure it was Ronald from the way he rode that tricycle, but I woke up in this room, and I had to chop my own foot off, and that was...
Wait for this, the sodcast for this.
Yeah, listeners, our next episode, or I don't know the chronology, but we are doing a special episode where we're just watching a random Saw movie. It's going to be something.
It's so bad. Man, worst pain? That's a... dang.
I'll go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if this is the worst, but this sucked pretty bad. Back when I was in middle school, I was a real idiot. We were playing tennis, and we were playing this game called Around the World, where, like, if you win, you got to go to the other side of the net. You're supposed to run around. But I decided it would be faster to jump over the net. And I was pretty good at jumping, but, like, my toe caught. Just, like, the tip of the toe caught the net while I was in midair. And so I just, like, face planted, and I broke my wrist, and my face was, like, really scratched up. And that hurt pretty bad. It also hurt pretty bad because I did it in front of a lot of people who are also playing the game. And... yeah, you know, it was pretty embarrassing. And so I had to get up and be like, oh, no, I'm fine. My glasses are all, like, totally
destroyed.
And your
broken wrist.
Yeah, my wrist is broken.
You're, like, trying to wave at them, and you're trying to wave at them, and your wrist is broken, so your, like, hands flopping around.
Oh, that sucks. Oof.
Yeah, it hurt pretty horribly bad, but it was mostly just embarrassing.
Yeah. You want me to go, Rahul, or you got something?
I don't think I have anything, honestly.
Okay, so I've already told the kidney story. That one was pretty brutal, where I was trying to deal with major surgery using only Tylenol because opioids. That was some shit. But the worst one I've ever been hurt that I haven't told on this podcast was one time I was out, like, you know, just trimming my grandmother's hedges. They had this weed whack, or you know, one of those, like, sawtooth back and forth things.
Yeah,
right. God. And I was looking at it. And I was kind of, like, fascinated by it, and I wasn't really thinking clearly. And for some reason that I can't, like, ever express, I've never gotten a clear reason on why I did this. I kind of stuck my finger out and, like, into it.
Dude!
Yeah, so I've got now my middle finger on my left hand. Like, it hurt horribly. You know, going in, I'm just swearing. I tell everyone that I dropped the thing and tried to catch it as a reflex, because Otherwise, I mean, they're probably going to put me in a mental hospital or something, right? I go in. For some reason, I'm like screaming obscenities almost because it hurts so bad. And I wish I hadn't done that in front of my grandparents. That's no good. And I'm demanding that they bring me like a hair tie so that I can stop the bleeding by putting it around the base of the face so that I wasn't thinking clearly. I wash it off a bunch. They take me to the hospital. I'm swearing all the way. I'm convinced I'm going to pass out. We go into the hospital. My grandma, who was a former nurse, was like, hey, you got to get him a crash cart. He's about to faint. And then we're talking to the woman, and I'm like, I think I'm going to pass out. I've lost blood. And she's like, you haven't lost enough blood to make you pass out. And suddenly the lightheadedness just goes away because it was entirely psychosomatic.
Weird.
Yeah, so then we sit in the hospital for like 8 hours while we wait for someone to be able to come and do stitches on me. It was pretty fucking weird. Still to this day, don't know why I did that. Haven't done anything like it again. Very stupid. Don't stick your hands into power tools, kids.
You know, and I was also similar to that, but like not really as bad. When I was a kid, like we were at this like Indian restaurant, and there's this big glass and steel door, and it was like closing slowly, you know, because it's got the hydraulic thing on the top. And I saw the gap between the door and the door jam.
Oh god!
Oh no!
Yeah, for some reason, I put my thumb in that.
No!
Why? All right. Like, I guess you're just stupid, stupid kid. But, you know, your thumb gets stuck, right? Oh. Yeah, so I'm just, like, freaking out. I can't say anything, and it's just, like, getting tighter and tighter and crutching my thumb. And eventually someone notices and opens it, but it's already, like, destroyed my thumbnail, and I'm just, like, in shock. Like, no appetite, just, like... miserable. I don't really remember the pain, but like it's just
you really
miserable.
Ruined that dinner for your parents.
Yeah, you're very selfish, Rahul. Very selfish.
The whole time I was like, why did I do that? That was so weird. Like,
the call of the void.
It's called the door jam.
You know, to quote the Belial's Brood source book for Vampire the Requiem, what's the point in having a cliff if you're not gonna jump off it?
That is a pretty cool quote.
Yeah, it kind of works for vampires more than humans, I feel. But,
right? Yeah, especially like Satanist vampires, which is what Belial's Brood are.
I don't know. It clearly worked on both of you guys when you were kids. You were just sticking your fingers in.
You know, that's the other thing. I was in college when I did that.
You're in college?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I thought you would have learned by then.
This is why when anything happens, I'm convinced Lawrence did something so stupid and fucking died or something. It's like why I'm always worried about some ridiculous thing he did, because I'm sure this is just the base of the pyramid for Lawrence's insanity, you know? Like,
okay, and anyways, you guys ready for Secrets of the Mindset Masters?
Secrets of the Mindset Master.
Okay, by ready, I mean I didn't prepare one.
God damn it, Rahul or Ronald, I gave you a heads up.
I thought you told Rahul to prepare one. I did one last time.
Okay, Rahul, you got one?
You go first, Lawrence, if you have one.
Yeah, you go first.
So he gets the tone.
Okay, so obviously, if you followed my other tips, you're thinking powerful thoughts and you're basically immune to criticism because you're eating a lot of green chili and you're hanging out with a large, very, very affectionate dog. So what you're going to do with these new powerful thoughts and complete immunity to other people's opinion, you got to get online and you got to fucking post nonstop. People try to tell you Facebook, LinkedIn, TikTok, whatever, wrong, all wrong. Facebook is for getting radicalized and figuring out the truth about the Irish. TikTok is for youngsters doing I don't know what and I'm scared of them. And I've never figured out what Instagram is and I'm not going to start fucking now. What you need Twitter. You get yourself a Twitter account. You post nonstop. You're posting about the Irish. You're posting about the Welsh. You're posting about the Italians. You're posting about the Pope. Nonstop. All of your opinions on there. Make sure you have your real name on it because you want people to know you're not ashamed of this shit. And this is very important, don't try to get followers because it's probably not going to happen. And don't use any hashtags or any of that bullshit. Just nonstop posting. And another thing, use a lot of weird emojis in your posts and semi-random capitalization and punctuation. That way, you'll be sort of showing people that language itself cannot constrain your ideas or the power of your mindset. And that, my friends, is a true secret of the Mindset Masters.
That's incredible.
No, wise words, wise words.
I got to start doing that.
Yeah.
So, I got to take Lawrence's advice here.
How about Rahul? You got one?
Yeah. You know, I think that this is something that very few people know, but if you like really want to like unlock all your chakras, open up all the gates, let the energy flow through you, you know, from the universe, just let it conduct straight down and from the top of your head to the bottom of your toes, you just got to, you got to play Dota constantly. just don't get up to go to the bathroom. Just keep playing until you win. And you'll get it once you start, and you won't
what,
be able
what
to
what characters should I play?
No, you just, you'll know, you know, it'll call to you. It's the call of the Dota. You just keep playing, man. And you'll get more and more powerful. You just feel it. Don't go to the bathroom. No breaks. No nothing. Yep. And that's my secret. That's that's how I became this muscle bound freak you see before. Yeah.
Listeners, I would like to say Raul is laughing hysterically at the idea that he's muscle bound, but he is of the three of us the muscliest, and he does go to the gym quite a bit.
He is quite bulky.
This muscle bound freak you see before you.
You know, he's muscle bound and he is kind of a freak, so
yeah.
It works unironically.
So, Ronald, you feeling the stirrings of mindset mastery?
Yeah, I've got a grind set mastery tip for you guys. All right, yeah. Here it is. You know, you see a lot of people out there. You know, they seem to know a lot about finances and, you know, how to make money. And here's the truth of it: the best thing to do is to buy random stocks. And wait till they devalue and panic sell them. It works every time. I do it constantly. I've lost so much, but it's gonna turn around. I can feel it. So be sure, buy random stocks that you know nothing about, and then sell them whenever it starts to look like they're not going your way.
Now, Ronald, to use this method, could I, for instance, just get on the stock exchange and buy stocks where I think their ticker signs look funny?
Oh, man, that sounds like perfect. That sounds, you know, it sounds like you've already got this down.
Like, is there a company where their ticker sign is tit? Because I would buy that.
You know,
or maybe
you're
ass.
You're gonna have to
I'll
search.
Check.
I'm not
tit
dictionary.
Tigger. Yep. Telecom Italia.
Oh fuck!
Oh, it's perfect.
I have to ride that shit to the moon.
I don't know if you can trade it on the New York Stock Exchange. But...
Well, I'm gonna trade it on the Italian Stock Exchange then, motherfucker. And the best news is whatever my portfolio is doing well, I can say it's going tits up.
Dude, this company made 18 billion euros in 2019, so
that okay, was now not let a bad me price. Do an exchange rate. Euros.
We like 22 Dude. Billion?
Yeah, I think euros
How much
is actually
you say
slightly
it was?
More than ours.
18 bill.
More
18, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7, 8,
you can
9.
Just type billion.
18 billion.
18
no, I can't.
Billy dillies.
Yeah, that's 20 billion or almost $21 billion. That seems like a lot of money to me who has no sort of understanding
who has
of exchange
no
rates.
Billions.
Yeah. Can you imagine if I owned that company, how many billions I would have?
Well, how many stocks are you buying? Well, that'll be the driver of how many billions you have.
You know, I think I could invest well over $1,000 in this stock. So all I'll need is 20 years? No, wow. Wait, like 200 years. Maybe.
VIP. Damn. Might have to give you the special treatment at the stock exchange when you go in with your hundreds of dollars to buy...
They're like, oh, we're so tired of people coming in with like hundreds of thousands of dollars. This guy we like. Anyways, so recommendations and cautions?
Okay, I've got a recommendation.
Okay.
It's the scariest YouTube video you might have ever seen. It's called Peaceful Skeleton Nation Attacked by Helicopter. It's only about 30 seconds long. Do yourself a favor. Go watch one of the modern masterpieces of short films. You won't regret it.
Listener, I will put a link to this in the show notes. It's something of a... if you know Ronald Freddy like the time, he'll say you have a link to this. So.
And, okay, cautions. Skip me for now.
Okay, Rahul?
I recommend so many things. Just...
vamp more, Rahul. Vamp more. This episode hasn't had enough nonsense.
Vamp?
You know, like stretch it out for time.
Jesus, I honestly don't do anything. So, you know, I recommend that. That is my recommendation. It's official. I think it's pretty sweet. I don't do anything. So I recommend you also do nothing, dear listener, and join me in our nothingness.
So would your caution then be against doing things?
Oh, that's good, actually. Yeah, I'm so tired of doing things. I'm just tired of it. God, everyone wants me to do stuff all the time. Like, flush the toilet. Okay, that was a lie. I don't know. Yeah, my caution is against doing things. Yep, I'm taking a stand. That's it.
I love that Rahul, like, I there's been sort of a trend in his recommendations where they're growing nihilistic. Eventually, it's going to be he's going to recommend death and caution against life.
Wait, is that nihilistic to recommend death? I don't think it is. Would you even care if you were truly a nihilist?
So nihilism comes in a couple of different flavors, but rejecting the idea that life has any value and that it is therefore in any way preferable to death is one of those flavors.
But they're on equal footing then, life and death?
Well, yeah, but then you could start, once you get there, you can start making the argument that it looks like when you're dead, nobody hassles you and people totally hassle you when you're alive.
Oh.
And why are you doing it? Why are you making any effort to stay alive?
But why do you care if people hassle you then, if you're a true...
Because it's a hassle.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't be hassled because you're a nihilist.
But they're all like, hey, you know...
It's a hassle to do all the things that it takes to stay alive.
Yeah. Like, have you guys...
Like breathing?
Have you heard of this pissing thing? It's like every hour or two, you gotta go to a fucking bathroom and you gotta... It's a nightmare. Wow, stony silence, huh? No, no laughter, no nothing.
That's just how I really feel.
Tired of it.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna go now, and then we'll do Ronald's caution. So
yeah, I have a caution.
So my recommendation, I have two actually. The first is a novella. It's called "When Darkness Loves Us" by Elizabeth Engstrom. It's one of the like great finds of the '80s sort of horror paperback boom. It's about a woman who gets locked into a weird underground cave system. And she ends up down there a lot longer than you expect, and things get way weirder. I don't want to spoil it too much. I'd urge you guys to just go check it out. You can find it either just buying When Darkness Loves Us, which is a collection of two novellas, of which this is the first, off like Amazon or something. It's also included in, I think, The Dark Descent by David G. Hartwell. It might be Foundations in Fear by David G. Hartwell. I forget which one, but it's in one of those two, and you should own those two anyway. And second... I recently bought my wife a book called The Korean Vegan Cookbook, Reflections and Recipes from Oma's Kitchen by Joanne Lee Molinara. It just came out. My wife loves cooking, so I buy her cookbooks. There's nothing wrong with like a husband doing the cooking. It's just in our relationship, you know, she likes cooking and I don't, so she does it, which is, you know, a good way to have a relationship. And every single recipe she's cooked for me out of it so far has been absolute dynamite, and I love it so much. So, I would recommend both getting this cookbook and also just Korean food in general, because that shit's incredible. And then for my caution, cold is finally here in Albuquerque. So I've been having to go for a lot of like runs in the early morning in the cold, and running in the cold is awful and I hate it. I'm going to keep doing it because I don't want to lose my level of, but you're either too cold or you're wearing like bulky garments to stop yourself from being cold. And then you're like having a lot of weirdness with your thermoregulation. And it's absolutely uncomfortable because it really sucks to sweat in like a heavy jacket or sweats or whatever. So, yeah, I'm not having a good time. And also like I'll often play Hearthstone while I'm running to like take my mind off things. And my fingers get horribly, horribly numb and start hurting badly. So, you know, I don't like it. So I caution against it.
How do you play Hearthstone when you're running?
very carefully.
Well, you'd think. the true answer is by accepting that things can break and that your body will heal eventually. So Ronald, your caution?
My caution is, so it's, you know, I don't know when this episode's coming out, but when we're filming it, it's right before Halloween. So I've been trying to go watch some horror movies, and I've watched part of the Amityville Horror 2005 movie with Ryan Reynolds, because it was on HBO, and it was just, honestly, it was just kind of boring and not a great movie. I would caution against it. Ryan Reynolds is like kind of likable, and so him like devolving very quickly into murderous rage just feels really stupid. I don't know. This wasn't great. I didn't watch the whole thing. Maybe it gets better, but I doubt it.
I don't like any of those Amityville movies, if I'm being honest. The whole, like, they were concocted by, or the story is based on a book concocted by a murderer to try to help him, like, get off his, like, sentence is,
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I have not read, this is my first one, this is my first intro into the series. It wasn't great, so I probably will not follow it. I didn't realize that was the origin.
The deal is basically that there was a guy who had murdered, I believe, his parents and family. So, and he was standing trial. Meanwhile, the other bought the house, and it turned out that they couldn't really afford the mortgage. So for some reason, they got together with the guy's defense attorney, and they're like, well, maybe if we say that the house is haunted and all demonical, that'll help us like unload the house somehow. And it'll also maybe provide a defense for this guy who killed a bunch of people. So... that's where that book came from. Pretty gross. That's and then apparently some of the sequels actually like reenact the murder. Yeah.
Anyways. Yeah, you know, that might have happened. I didn't realize that was a real murder.
Yeah, it's... I mean, I'm not one of those guys who's like, art is absolutely, you know, has to be moral or anything, but when you're producing art of that quality... you know, to say bad from a source like that, it's sort of like, why did you bother doing something this gross for this little return? Anyways, I guess from all of us at Bad Time Radio, thanks for coming by, and we will see you in 2 weeks.
If you'd like to recommend an episode of Old Time Radio for us to listen to, send us a question for the mailbag or a pedantic correction, you can reach us at radiobadtime@gmail.com. Our theme music is Finger in the Bottle by We Ashore Dedicated off their album No Ski Here Okie Sap. Thanks so much for listening.
Well, I was gonna get rich. Finger in the bottle. Now